Cassette number 12, side 1, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, continuing section 2, division C, the Egric Ray and Solar Fire, on page 505. 1. Egric manifestation is produced through the medium of two fires. Let us therefore consider somewhat the subject of the egric ray and the causal body, viewing it from the standpoint of the microcosm, and leaving the student to work out for himself the analogies where the logos is concerned, conjuring him to bear in mind that the analogy must ever be drawn with true emphasis upon the fact that all that a human unit can comprehend is the manifestation of the solar logos in a physical body. In all manifestation, as we well know, we have duality producing triplicity. Spirit meets and contacts matter. The result of that contact is the birth of the sun, or the ego, the consciousness aspect. The egoic manifestation is therefore the middle aspect, the place of at-one-ment, and, after due evolutionary cycles, the place of balance, or of equilibrium. Page 506. It should be noted that the analogy between the locus and man is not accurate, for man has to undergo the whole process within the solar periphery, whilst the logos, within that periphery, goes through the stage analogous to that which the man undergoes when his astral sheath clothes itself with etheric matter and he takes physical incarnation, which was touched upon when considering the subject of fire by friction. It will consequently be apparent that in considering the manifestation of the ego, we are dealing with the point of central emphasis in man's threefold manifestation. We are concerning ourselves with that division of his nature which concerns the process of making him the perfect six-pointed star during the preliminary stage, the threefold personality and the threefold triad merged and blended and perfectly produced through the intermediate point, the causal body, and which, when the physical body is eliminated, makes him the five-pointed star or perfected Manasaputra. To state the whole in terms of fire, the causal body is produced by means of the positive life or fire of the spirit, electric fire, meeting the negative fire of matter or fire by friction. This causes the blazing forth of solar fire. This central blaze inevitably in due course burns up the third fire or absorbs its essence and is itself eventually blended with the fire of spirit and passes out of objective display. I seek here to deal with the subject of the causal body in two different ways, one along the old lines and the other strictly along the lines of occult electrical phenomena. 2. Egoic manifestation is produced at individualization. The causal body is that sheath of mental substance which is formed at the moment of individualization by the contact of the two fires. Page 507. The force or energy that pours through from the higher planes, the breath of the monad, if you care so to term it, produces a vacuum or something analogous to a bubble in koilon, and the sheath of the causal body, the ring-pass knot of the central life, is formed. Within this sheath are to be found three atoms, which have been termed the mental unit, the astral permanent atom, and the physical permanent atom. They correspond individually to the seventh principle of each of the three persons of the microcosmic triad, a reflection, in the three worlds of the microcosm, of the three persons of the logoic trinity. H.P.B. hints at this in connection with the logos when she speaks of the visible sun being the seventh principle of the Brahma aspect, the physical permanent atom of the logos. Roman numeral 2, the nature of the permanent atoms. 1. The purpose of the permanent atoms. The three permanent atoms are in themselves centers of force, or those aspects of the personality which hold hid the fires of substance or of objectivity. It cannot be too strongly pointed out at this juncture that in considering the threefold man in the three worlds, we are dealing with substance, which, in connection with logoic manifestation, is considered the dense physical. Surrounding these three atoms is the causal sheath, answering the following purposes. It separates one unit of egoic consciousness from another unit of consciousness, yet is itself part of the gaseous body, the fifth cosmic physical subplane in the physical body of the planetary Logos, who is the central life of any particular group of monads. This fact has been little appreciated and merits careful consideration. Page 508. It holds its spiritual potentialities in its inherent ability to respond to the higher vibration. From the moment of individualization till it is discarded at initiation, the life within steadily develops these potentialities and produces certain definite results by the utilization of the three permanent atoms. It gradually vivifies and awakens them until, on the three planes, the central life has an adequate point of contact which can originate the necessitated vibration in the matter of the plane. The permanent atoms on each plane serve a fourfold purpose as regards the central or egoic life. They are the distributors of a certain type of force. They are the conservers of faculty or ability to respond to a particular vibration. They are the assimilators of experience and the transmuters of that experience into quality. This is the direct result of the work of the egoic ray as it plays upon the atom. They hold hid the memory of the unit of consciousness. When fully vibrant, they are the raison d'être for the continuity of the consciousness of the man functioning in the causal body. This distinction must be carefully made. We must always remember in studying these difficult matters that we are dealing with the logoic dense physical body, and that the mental unit is found in logoic gaseous matter. The astral permanent atom is in logoic liquid matter, the physical permanent atom in dense physical substance. And they therefore have their place in matter of the three lowest subplanes of the physical body of the Logos. Consequently, when in the process of evolution and through initiation man achieves the consciousness of the spiritual triad and transfers his polarization into the three triadal permanent atoms, he is simply able to function consciously in the etheric body of his particular planetary Logos. Page 509. Work out the analogy in the microcosmic development and note how, in order to function consciously in his individual etheric body, a man has to burn through what has been called the etheric web, and study how the fires of initiation produce something analogous in the planetary etheric body and eventually in the cosmic etheric. As each unit of consciousness, through self-induced effort, achieves the goal and crosses the burning ground, a microscopic portion of the etheric web of the planetary etheric body is consumed by fire. This results in a definite gain for that great entity, the planetary Logos, through the relatively unimportant liberation of the force of one cell in his body. When all the units or cells in his body have achieved, he too is set free from dense manifestation and physically dies. This stage is the comparatively brief one of etheric existence, covering the period of planetary obscuration, and then he is liberated from incarnation altogether. Viewing this process from the standpoint of the Logos, the Brahma aspect passes out, or the life withdraws from the physical permanent atom, leaving later stages on cosmic levels with which we need not concern ourselves. These cover the withdrawal of the logoic life from out of the other two aspects. In a solar system, which is a physical incarnation of the Logos, the Brahma aspect is apparently the most important, it being the medium of expression, yet it is the subjective aspect, or the life desire of the Logos, which is fundamentally of moment. This concerns his endeavor on high levels and on cosmic planes beyond the ken of the highest Chohan. It might be of value here if I pointed out that the egoic ray of the human unit, with which we are concerning ourselves, manifests as regards each ray, just as does the logoic manifestation. Footnote. The human ray. Each human center is a crystallized ray of the Absolute One that has worked through processes of evolution into what is known as a human being. From Some Thoughts on the Gita. Return to text. Page 510. Each of the seven rays, viewed in connection with the causal bodies of men, demonstrates as a unity on the first subplane, as a triplicity on the second, and as seven on the third, forming there the 49 groups which most concern evolving man. According to the angle of vision, this numbering of groups may be increased or lessened, but for purposes of studying the aspects of mind, the above enumeration suffices. In the course of his many septenary lives, and as the cyclic sevens pass over him, man passes under the influence of the seven rays of his own ray. Then he begins to synthesize and merge the seven into the major three sub-rays, returning thus to unity on his own egoic ray. First, the septenary status governs the time from individualization till he enters upon the path. Second, the threefold status governs the time up till the third initiation. Third, he achieves the unity of his ray by the fifth initiation, and is then consciously a part of the body of the heavenly man. The same idea can be worked out in connection with the awakening of the life forces within the permanent atoms, viewing each atom as the seventh principle in each of the three aspects of the personality. 2. Their place in the egoic body. A. The importance of the astral permanent atom. There is one fact to be grasped in connection with the place of the permanent atom within the causal periphery and its evolution that needs to be emphasized with care, and that is that the astral permanent atom in this solar system is the recipient of a great flow of force or energy, and receives more stimulation and energizing than any of the others, and this for the following reasons. Page 511. First, the center of polarization for the fourth or human kingdom is in the astral consciousness, viewing this kingdom as a unity in expression. From the astral and through the desire nature, the majority of men inevitably direct and control the physical vehicle. The astral body is in the direct line of force via the buddhic from monadic levels 2, 4, 6. Second, the goal set before humanity is that of becoming masters of the wisdom, or conscious units in the body of the dragon of wisdom, or of love. This a man achieves when he can function consciously in the buddhic vehicle, or when the astral permanent atom is superseded by the buddhic permanent atom. Third, the next reason is that the second aspect of the logos, that of love, or the manifestation of the love nature of the logos through the medium of the sun, is the one demonstrated in this system. This system is a sun of necessity, or of desire, b, vibrant to the key of the cosmic ray of love, c, the form through which this ray of cosmic love, shown in the interrelation between the self and the not-self, or through duality, is expressing itself, d, governed by the cosmic law of attraction. The monads of love are the dominating quality. I choose this word, quality, specifically. Fourth, the center in the cosmic body of the one about whom naught may be said, of which our solar logos is the embodied force, is the heart center. Here we have one of the clues to the mystery of electricity. The sacred planets, with certain allied etheric spheres within the ring pass knot, are parts of that heart center and are petals in the lotus, or in the heart center of that great unknown existence who stands to the solar logos as he, in his turn, stands to the heavenly men who are his centers, and especially as he stands to the particular heavenly man who is the embodied force of the logoic heart center. Page 512. Therefore, it will be apparent to the careful student that the entire force and energy of the system and its life quality will be that which we call, having perforce to use handicapping, misleading words, love. This will account for the fact that the force that plays through that cosmic heart center will be the paramount force found in the manifestation of a solar logos and of a heavenly man. It will likewise produce its microcosmic analogy and reflective reactions. Hence the relative importance of the astral permanent atom within the causal periphery. It is in the direct line of active force emanating from the cosmic existence and passing to it in ever-lessening degree via the solar logos in his system of love and the planetary logos within a scheme, the dragon of wisdom, love. This force, when rightly directed and properly controlled, is the great transmuting agency which eventually will make of the human unit a master of the wisdom, a lord of love, a dragon of wisdom in lesser degree. Finally, this solar system, the objective physical manifestation of the logos, is interpenetrated by his astral body, as is the case with the human manifestation. As the logos is polarized in his cosmic astral sheath and has not yet attained cosmic mental polarization, his force or desire nature is the main incentive for the subjective life and lives that underlie the form. If the student will ponder with care these five facts, he will get a clue to the problems of existence as realized around us, to the causes of the heat of the solar system, to the method of the cosmic law of attraction and repulsion, which governs all atomic forms, and to the question of sex, which is apparent in every kingdom of nature. They give the clue also to the constitution of the divine hermaphrodite. Page 513. Therefore, it is necessary to bear in mind the relative importance of the permanent atom of the second aspect of the personality within the causal periphery, and to remember that the force which flows through that atom, and which is the animating force of the astral body, is following the lines of least resistance, and rarely might be considered as bearing upon his physical manifestation in a manner twice as strong as that reaching him through the other two. The logos expresses himself now through the divine ray, his second aspect, and this ray is the sum total of the radiation of the lords of wisdom, the heavenly men, the dragons who are unity and who are love. Through them this force flows, and they in turn clothe themselves with form, or, as H.P.B. expresses it, the primordial ray becomes the vahan for the divine ray. Footnote: the divine ray contains within itself seven other rays. It is the swan with the seven young ones. It is the logos of love wisdom with the seven planetary logoi. It is the grand man of the heavens with the seven heavenly men. It is the one boundless principle with the seven principles. This is subjectively. It is the seven planets with their informing entities. It is the seven planes with their animating principles. Love wisdom is the manifestation of the astral or desire nature of the solar logos. From The Secret Doctrine, Volume 1, page 103. Return to text. Their life animates every atom of substance when built into form, and their life is the sum total of logoic magnetism, or the great desire nature of the logos going out after the not-self, producing the cosmic marriage. It is the logoic demonstration of the sex appeal, his search for his polar opposite, and their mystic union. This process is repeated by the microcosm following the line of his being, and this brings him likewise into incarnation or into mystic union with form. B. The atomic triangle. The causal sheath is to the clairvoyant, therefore, a sphere of vibrant living substance. Within it can be seen three fiery points. At the heart of the sphere is a central blaze of light, emitting rays. These rays are given as seven in number and play upon these points or circles, analogous to the electrons in the atoms of science, and at this stage produce most effect upon the astral permanent atom. Page 514. The physical permanent atom has a position relatively close to the positive center, and the force plays through it and passes on to the astral permanent atom in the form of five rays of parti-colored light, which blend with the intensely vivid hue of the astral permanent atom and increase its intensity until the blaze is so excessive that it appears to the onlooker as if the two points blended or the two electrons merged, and in merging produce such an intensity of light that they are seen as dissolving. The mental unit having a position within the causal body analogous to the planet furthermost from the sun becomes vibrant likewise, and the two other points, considered now as one, begin to interact with the mental unit, and a similar process is set up and is pursued until these two points, circulating around their positive center, also approach each other, blend, merge, and dissolve. The center of positive life gathers or synthesizes the three points, and thus the three fires of the personality repeat on their tiny scale the microcosmic procedure as seen in the synthesis of electric fire, solar fire, and fire by friction, and only a blazing unit is left. This blazing unit, through the combined heat of its being, burns up the causal body and escapes back onto the planes of abstraction. Thus man is the path itself, and also the pilgrim upon the path. Thus does he burn, but is also the burning ground. The analogy holds true in the case of the microcosm viewed from monadic levels in his manifestation as monad, ego, and personality, and thus the process is carried on as it concerns a heavenly man and likewise a solar logos. Should the brain suffice to hold the concept, thus is the process also on cosmic levels for such high existences as the seven rishis of the Great Bear and that still greater being, the one about whom naught may be said. Page 515. 3. The spirilli and the egoic ray. We will take up now the subject of the spirilli within the permanent atom and see in what manner they are affected by the egoic ray, remembering always that we are considering them as, first, the interior economy of the life germ on the three planes which concern man in the three worlds, second, as the seventh principle in each of the three sheaths, and third, as the positive nucleus of force which holds together the matter of the three sheaths. Let us therefore study two things, the composition of the permanent atom, the difference between the mental unit and the astral and physical permanent atoms. To do this with clarity and so bring some kind of definite concept into being from the dark regions of abstraction, let us tabulate. A. The composition of the permanent atom. The permanent atom of the astral and physical planes is a sphere of physical or astral substance composed of atomic matter and characterized by the following qualities. Responsiveness. This is its inherent power to respond to the vibration of some one of the heavenly men as it is transmitted via the Deva or Brahma aspect of his threefold nature. The permanent atom finds its place within the sphere of influence of one or other of the great Devas who are the Raja lords of a plane. Form building power. These Devas sound forth two syllables of the threefold microcosmic word and are each, on their own plane, the coherent agency which gathers substance into form and attracts matter for purposes of objectivity. Page 516. The astral sound produces the microcosmic sun of necessity, and when it reverberates on the physical plane, produces physical incarnation and the sudden appearance on etheric levels of the seven centers. The building of the dense physical is the result of consequent automatic action in Deva essence, for it must ever be borne in mind that man is essentially, as regards the physical plane, an etheric being, and his dense physical body is esoterically regarded as below the threshold and is not considered a principle. Relative permanency. In the seventh principle of all manifesting entities is stored up and developed capacity, acquired ability, and the atomic memory, or, in other words, the heredity of the thinker, viewing him from the physical standpoint or from the emotional. There is no permanence whatever in the sheaths. They are built into temporary forms and dissolved when the thinker has exhausted their possibilities. But the seventh principle of each sheath gathers to itself the achieved qualities and stores them up under the law of karma to work out again and to demonstrate as the plane impulse at each fresh cycle of manifestation. This permanency is itself likewise only a relative one, and as the inner fire within the atom burns more brightly, as the external fires of the ego or solar fire beat upon it with ever-increasing intensity, the atom in due time is consumed, and the inner blaze becomes so great that it destroys its encompassing wall. Heat. Herein lies the distinction between the permanent atoms on all planes and the atomic matter of which they form a part. It is not easy to make this distinction clear, nor is it desirable at this time. The true facts of the case are one of the guarded secrets of initiation. But the distinction between the permanent atom and atomic matter may be somewhat comprehended if we state, the permanent atom is one that has been appropriated by one of the lives that form the centers in the body of a solar logos, whilst atomic matter per se goes to the formation of other parts of his great body of light. Page 517. A permanent atom is one which has come under the attractive power of the second aspect, whilst atomic matter itself is vitalized by the life of the third aspect. A permanent atom follows the line of the least resistance of force and is passing out of the control of the Deva Lord and coming under the control of positive life. This concerns the evolution of consciousness in substance. A permanent atom comes under the direct control of the lower of the three groups of Lipika Lords and is the agency through which they work in the imposition of karma upon the particular entity who may be utilizing it. They work directly with the permanent atoms of men and produce results through the agency of form until they have exhausted the vibratory capacity of any particular atom. When this is the case, the atom passes into the stage of obscuration, as does the seventh principle of any sheath. It comes under the influence of the first aspect, manifesting as the destroyer. Remember that in these affirmations we are concerning ourselves with the microcosm and with the permanent atoms which are related to him. As regards the solar logos manifesting in the system, we are concerned with but one permanent atom, and this is his physical permanent atom. It is thus true that within the permanent physical atom of the solar logos lies hid the ability to respond consciously to the vibration of all the planes. Lies hid the secret of the karmic purpose of his incarnation, and lies concealed the mystery of his functional activity. But we cannot penetrate the secret as yet of his three lower permanent atoms as they function as a unity within his causal vehicle. Page 518. Until we can do this, it is useless for us to conjecture as to his fundamental being. The difference between them. The mental unit is in a unique and peculiar position as regards man, the thinker, in the causal body. This point will be discussed shortly. Suffice it to say here that its mystery lies hid in the nature of the heavenly men themselves. The following correspondence holds the key to this mystery, but it can only be indicated, leaving it to the student to work out the truth for himself. On the three planes of logoic manifestation, the highest three, we have the three aspects manifesting. On the buddhic plane, the fourth cosmic ether, we have the logoic etheric centers demonstrating, or those force vortices which animate the three lower planes of the dense physical manifestation. In connection with the heavenly men, we have a secondary manifestation, and on the buddhic plane we have their third aspect found, leaving for their paramount manifestation of force the cosmic gaseous plane or the manasic plane. They are essentially the divine thinkers, the Manasaputras. In connection, therefore, with the microcosm, viewing him as part of a center in the body of a heavenly man, we have a lesser descent within the gaseous or fire manifestation of a solar lord. This concerns the three higher subplanes of what might be considered as the manifestation of man's three higher aspects in mental matter, whilst on the fourth subplane we have the mental centers of man within the periphery of his mental body, of which the mental unit is the unifying factor. This is, as has been earlier said, a deep mystery, and one that can be no further amplified. B. The planes and fiery energy. It seems desirable that we should here discuss the analogies on each plane with the seven subplanes, reminding the student that we are speaking of the planes as the field of evolution of a solar logos, and not only as a field for the development of man. Footnote. 1. The seven systemic planes are 1. Divine plane, logos, first cosmic ether. 2. Monadic plane, monad, second cosmic ether. 3. Spiritual plane, third cosmic ether. 4. Intuitional plane, fourth cosmic ether. 5. Mental plane, ego, gaseous plane. 6. Astral plane, liquid plane. 7. Physical, gross. 2. The seven differentiations in terms of fiery energy are A. Plane of divine life, father, sea of fire. B. Plane of monadic life, sun, akasha. C. Plane of Atma, Holy Ghost, aether. D. Plane of Buddhi, intuition, central, air. E. Plane of mind, fire. F. Plane of desire, astral light. G. Plane of physical, ether. Thought, thought forms, materialization. Microcosm, macrocosm. 3. Planes of logoic evolution, the seven planes. Planes of sun's evolution, the six planes. Planes of monadic evolution, the five planes. Planes of human evolution, the three worlds. 7 is the number of the totality of manifestation. 3 is the number of consciousness. 1 is the number of life or spirit. 4. Electric fire, solar fire, fire by friction. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Spirit, consciousness, matter. Return to text. In the solar system, we have first, the three higher planes, which have been rightly called the planes of the three aspects. Second, the seventh logoic principle is on the first plane, and we can consider it as the impulse in physical matter which produced his body of objectivity. On the second plane are found the seven heavenly men, who are his principal centers of force. There are others, but we are not here concerned with them. These latter have achieved a certain specific goal and are the embodiment of centers which are now quiescent or out of manifestation, the logoic kundalini having turned its attention elsewhere. Page 520. Under another enumeration, they make the 10 of the esoteric life and can also be enumerated as 12, thus forming the 12-petaled lotus or the heart center in the body of the one about whom naught may be said. On the fourth cosmic ether, the Buddhic plane, are found the etheric centers of the logos. There are to be found the esoteric planets and the sun, viewed as the center of the Buddhic principles, and from thence the logos animates his dense physical manifestation. Finally, on the three lower planes, we have his gaseous, liquid, and dense bodies or sheaths, forming in themselves a unity in one peculiar sense. They are as much a coherent whole as the three higher planes form a unified triple expression of the three persons of the Trinity. We have a similar analogy in the subplanes of each plane in the system, and this will become ever more apparent as man achieves a greater clarity of vision and can consciously ascertain for himself the truth about the subjective life. Let us briefly take these planes and study the life or force manifestation on each, laying the emphasis upon the lower four, and not so much upon the planes which do not concern man so closely. The logoic plane. The first, the second, and the third subplanes of the first cosmic ether respond specifically to the vibration of one of the three aspects, or to those cosmic entities whose influence reaches the matter of the planes from without the system altogether. On the fourth subplane comes a primary blending of the three fiery lives, producing archetypally that force manifestation of electricity, which eventually causes the blazing forth of the suns of light on the next plane. In this electrical connotation, we have the three higher planes ever embodying the threefold spirit aspect, the lower three embodying the threefold substance aspect, and then a plane of at-one-ment, whereon an approximation is made, which, on the path of return, marks the moment of achievement and the point of triumph. Page 521. This is succeeded by obscuration. Hence, on every plane in the solar system, we have a fourth plane, whereon the struggle for perfect illumination and subsequent liberation takes place, the battleground, the Kurukshetra. Though for man the fourth plane, the Buddhic, is the place of triumph and the goal of his endeavor, for the heavenly man it is the battleground, while for the solar logos it is the burning ground. This differentiation of the subplanes of the systemic planes into a higher three, a lower three, and a central plane of harmony is only so from the standpoint of electrical phenomena and not from the standpoint of either pure spirit or pure substance viewed apart from each other. It concerns the mystery of electricity and the production of light. The three higher planes concern the central forces or lives, the three lower concern the lesser forces or lives. We must bear this carefully in mind, remembering that to the occultist there is no such thing as substance, but only force in varying degrees, only energy of differentiated quality, only lives emanating from different sources, each distinctive and apart, and only consciousness producing intelligent effect through the medium of space. I would point out that the Lord Agni shows forth his fiery life on the atomic subplane of each plane. He shows forth as solar fire on the second, third, and fourth, and as fire by friction on the fifth, sixth, and seventh. From the point of view of the microcosm, the spark in the flame, man demonstrates as electric fire on the second plane, or the second cosmic ether, as solar fire on the third, fourth, and the three higher subplanes of the fifth plane, and as fire by friction on the lower subplanes of the fifth, on the sixth, and seventh planes. Page 522. See the planes and the three fires. On every plane we have, relatively speaking, A, electric fire demonstrating as the prime condition on the higher three, B, fire by friction as the most significant factor on the lower three, C, solar fire showing forth as the blaze produced by union on the central plane. In the solar system, this is to be seen in connection with the heavenly man on the Buddhic plane, where they blaze forth through their etheric centers. In connection with man on the mental plane, we have a similar condition. The three higher subplanes concern the spirit aspect in the causal body. The three lower subplanes concern primarily the mental sheath, or fire by friction. The fourth subplane is that on which the four centers of the mental body are to be found. So it is on the physical plane for man, his etheric centers being located in matter of the fourth ether. Each of the three persons of the Trinity manifests equally, as does a man, as spirit, soul, or ego, and substance. In connection with Brahma, we have the spirit aspect animating the three higher subplanes of every plane, or the first fire aspect. His soul aspect is found on the fourth subplane of each plane, whereon are situated the etheric centers of all manifested entities. His substance aspect is primarily contacted on the three lower subplanes. Hence we have the 49 fires of matter, or the seven fires of each plane, the union of the higher three and the lower three, producing that blaze which we call the wheels of fire, or the centers on the fourth subplane of each plane. In connection with the second aspect, there is a similar condition. Page 523. Solar fire blazes forth in its electrical aspect on the second plane, and demonstrates thus also on the third and fourth planes, but finds its central demonstration on manasic levels, shining through the causal vehicles of the egoic groups. Only 2.5 planes then remain through which the fire by friction aspect may manifest, 18 subplanes in all, which concern the third aspect of the second person of the logoic trinity. For man, the microcosm, a similar differentiation is possible. His monad can be studied in its threefold essence on its own plane, his egoic aspect likewise, and the Brahma aspect of the ego is found within the permanent atoms. Students should therefore study with care, 1. The planes, the manifestation of Brahma, the third or substance aspect, and should apply to this entity the same triple constitution as is apparent in the other two, the planes of electric fire, the planes of his lower nature, and the point of blazing forth or conflagration for him, the etheric centers, must be carefully studied. Brahma is the positive life of matter. He is the revelation of substance and the blaze that can be seen. 2. Vibration, the manifestation of the second aspect. These vibrations of consciousness are the major three words which are the sum total of egoic life, the minor three which govern the third aspect of the ego, and the chord of at-one-ment, which is that which is sounding forth now. The three aspects of spirit, as they are seen, can only be expressed in terms of the other two in this solar system, and of their nature extra-systemically, naught can profitably be said at this stage of cognition. The above thoughts upon the planes and the ninefold nature of all that is take one into regions as yet almost beyond the grasp of man. Yet only when the substance aspect is studied by the scientist in its triple nature will truth be approximated and the true nature of electrical phenomena be comprehended. Then and only then will electricity be harnessed and utilized by man as a unity and not just in one of its aspects as at present. The negative electricity of the planet is all that is as yet contacted for commercial purposes. It must be remembered that this term is used in the sense of negative in relation to solar electricity. When man has found out how to contact and utilize positive solar electricity in combination with negative planetary electricity, we shall have a very dangerous condition brought about, and one of the factors which will eventually manifest in the destruction of the fifth root race by fire. At that great cataclysm, as the Bible says, the heavens will melt with fervent heat. This will be seen in a still greater degree in the next round, and will cause that destruction by fire of the forms of the men who have failed, which will liberate the lives on a stupendous scale, and thus temporarily purify the earth from elements which would tend to hinder the evolutionary process. As the cycles pass away, the balancing of these fiery currents will be gradually brought about, and will result in a planetary condition of harmony and of esoteric equality, which will provide ideal environment for harmonious man. Only when the soul aspect is studied by the psychologist in its threefold essential nature will the mystery of consciousness become apparent, and the nature of the three magnetic groups in their various subdivisions with their consequent effectual radiation become a factor in the public life. This concerns itself with the definite development of the psyche under law, with the scientific expansion of the consciousness, and will eventually bring about conditions wherein the work, preliminary to the first initiation, will be purely exoteric and no longer part of an esoteric process. Page 525. In due course of time, it will be found that the self-induced efforts whereby a man consciously prepares his centers for the application of the rod of initiation at the first initiation will be the subject of books and of lectures and form part of the ordinary thought of the masses. This again will eventuate in a cleavage between the two groups in the middle of the fifth round. It must be remembered that this cleavage will be part of a natural process and not a drastic ruling imposed upon an unwilling people. The knowers and the students of the knowledge, actuated by group consciousness and working consciously, will separate themselves in group formation from those who know not and from those who care not. This cleavage will be self-induced and a natural outgrowth of the group life. It will in itself be of a temporary nature, for the fundamental aim in view will be the bringing about of an eventual closer merging. It will mark primarily the line of demarcation between the lower four rays of consciousness and the higher three. It is also a mystery hid in the relationship between the four exoteric kumaras and the esoteric three, and from the point of view of man, separates those who are developing the consciousness of the triad from those who, as yet, are living the life of the quaternary. It concerns those who respond to the solar lords, distinguishing them from those who recognize as yet only the control of the lunar lords. In terms of fire, those who warm themselves by means of fire by friction and respond not to the heat of solar fire remain within the cavern, thus living in the dark, whilst those whose being is irradiated by the sun of wisdom and who bask in the rays of solar heat dwell in the light and enjoy an ever-increasing freedom and vital existence. End of side one, cassette number 12, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, page 525. Continued on side two. Two, cassette number 12, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, continuing section two, division C, the egoic ray and solar fire, on page 525. The true significance of the three aspects of spirit is only becoming apparent to the initiate of high degree, and cannot be expressed in words nor comprehended by man before he has passed out of the human kingdom into the spiritual. Page 526. Therefore, it is needless for us to pause here to consider it at greater length. We might sum up the matter in terms of the old commentary from which source H.P.B. quoted so often. Quote, "The blessed ones hide their threefold nature, but reveal their triple essence by means of the three great groups of atoms. Three are the atoms, and threefold the radiation. The inner core of fire hides itself and is known only through radiation and that which radiates. Only after the blaze dies out and the heat is no longer felt can the fire be known." Close quote. We can now resume our consideration of the mystery of the mental unit and note wherein it differs from the other permanent atoms. We might then briefly summarize a mass of esoteric information anent the permanent atoms, which will suffice for many years to come as the basis of investigation for occult students. The permanent atoms and their internal economy will remain a mystery for a long time, and only a few general indications can here be given. The fundamental difference between the mental unit and the other two atoms consists in the fact that it contains only four spirillae instead of seven. This is brought about by the very facts of evolution itself, for the mental unit is the first aspect of the personality triad, or of man functioning in the human kingdom on the three lower planes. At his transference into the spiritual kingdom, these three aspects, the mental body, the astral body, and the physical body, are synthesized into the higher by a dual process. One, his polarization shifts from out of the lower three atoms into the triadal atoms. Two, the force which these atoms generate and embody is merged and blended into the higher force points. Page 527. A permanent atom is the positive nucleus or germ substance to the sheath wherein it is found. It is that which is the basis of form building, and it is literally a vibrant point of force emanating from the second aspect of the monad, which aggregates to itself and subsequently builds into form, the negative or third aspect. But it must here be remembered that this second aspect is itself dual, and that in considering the permanent atoms, we are dealing with the feminine aspect of the second person. The spirillae, therefore, are but streams of force or second aspect vitality, which circulates geometrically within the circumscribing wall of substance, composed of third aspect force or substance. What has been said of objectivity or of the cosmic atom can be equally well predicated of the permanent atom of man, the microcosm. The primordial ray is the vehicle of the divine ray. Negative force forms a receptacle for positive force. Atoms are but force centers, and the centers, as we know of them, are but aggregates of force points, which have reached a specific point in evolution and are responding to the first great aspect in some degree or to electric fire. This sentence is one to be seriously pondered, for it holds hid much information for the student, and when duly comprehended, will result in the light of knowledge being shed upon the problems of manifestation. It concerns the secret of the position of the different kingdoms of nature within the logoic body, and their place and part, for all depends upon the type of force which animates, upon the interplay of that force in substance, upon the dual, triple, or united aspect of force, and upon its septenary demonstration in form building. Every atom is a focal point of force, the force of substance itself, the life or vitality of the third aspect, the life of that cosmic entity who is, to the Logos, the negative aspect of electricity. Page 528. Every form and aggregate of atoms is simply a force center produced by the action of positive force and its interaction with negative energy. Footnote. Forms. 1. Divine ideation passes from the abstract to the concrete or visible form. A. The objective is an emanation of the subjective. B. Impulse is spirit energy causing objectivity. C. The logos renders objective a concealed thought. 2. Three things required before any form of energy can become objective. 1. Privation, separation, initial impulse, energy, will. 2. Form, quality or shape, nature, love. 3. Matter, objective sphere, intelligent activity. 3. Life precedes form. A. The thinker ever remains. B. Force of life is the transformation into energy of the thought of the logos. 4. Spirit evolves through form and out of form. A. Spirit has to acquire full self-consciousness. B. Form imprisons spirit. C. The principle of limitation is form. D. Spirit informs all sheaths. E. Spirit passes through the cycle of being. 5. The devas are the origin of form. They exist in two great groups. A. The Ahi are the vehicle of divine thought. B. The army of the voice. They are the sum total of the substance of the four higher planes and of the three lower. 6. There is a form which combines all forms. This form is the sum total of all that is manifested, or the entire solar sphere or system. This contains A. the 10 planetary schemes and all that is therein, B. all the lesser interplanetary bodies, C. the deva and human evolutions, D. the kingdoms of nature everywhere, E. the involutionary and evolutionary gods, F. every atom of substance on every plane. 7. All forms are destroyed periodically. All these notes were taken from The Secret Doctrine, Volumes 1, 2, and 3. Return to text. It is the vitality of the second aspect working in conjunction with the third and producing in time and space that illusion or maya which temporarily blazes forth and attracts attention, creating the impression that matter is a concrete something. There is no such thing as concretion in reality. There is only force of different kinds and the effect produced on consciousness by their interplay. Page 529. Back of all forms and of all substances, as yet but little contacted and realized, lies a third type of force, which utilizes these two other factors to produce eventual harmony, and which is in itself, on its own plane, the sum total of the second. It can be called A. the one synthesizing life, B. electric fire, C. the point of equilibrium, D. unity or harmony, E. pure spirit, F. dynamic will, G. existence. It is a force working through a dual manifestation of differentiated force, through the energy of matter, the coherency of forms, through force centers and force points. It is Fohat, in triple demonstration, of which the final or third is as yet unknown and inconceivable. This brings me to the consideration of the fact earlier stated that the mental unit possesses but four of the streams of force. Each of the streams of force in the permanent atoms vibrates to the note of a particular subplane and serves as the medium for the vitalization of the matter of the subplane, which is built into any particular body around a permanent atom. It is the force of the heavenly man, as it animates the cells of his form and holds them as a coherent unity. Here it must be remembered that, from the point of view of the microcosm, the aspect of pure spirit, or of electric fire, remains in this solar system as an abstraction. A man can attain group consciousness. He can vibrate to the note of the heavenly man in whose body he is a cell. He can demonstrate in relative perfection fire by friction and solar fire, but it remains for a later Maha Manvantara to reveal the true nature of spirit. Page 530. Therefore, in man, functioning in the human family, this fact is apparent and the correspondence to be seen. Until he passes out of the three worlds, and until he becomes a master of the wisdom, he has this truth concealed in these three aspects. The mental is not a septenary permanent atom, but only responds to four types of force, and not to the entire range of vibrations. Herein lies a reason for tolerance. Until a man is coming consciously under the control of the ego and is beginning to sense the vibration of the manasic permanent atom, it is useless to expect him to respond to certain ideals or to grasp certain aspects of truth. The mental unit suffices for his need, and no bridge exists between it and the manasic permanent atom. 2.5 planes are concerned with the evolution of man per se in the fourth kingdom, and he only begins to transcend them as he nears the path and treads it. From the standpoint of average man in physical incarnation, the egoic consciousness within the causal periphery is as abstract as is the logos viewed as the dweller within the system. These 2.5 planes are of peculiar interest to the logos, as they embody that which for him lies below the threshold of consciousness, those centers from which logoic kundalini is turning, that which is not considered a principle, that which is gradually passing into obscuration. It is impossible to enlarge further upon this mystery. 4. Summary. Before proceeding further, however, it might be well to sum up some of the facts anent the spirille and the atom, and then we can take up the subject of the causal body and man, the individual. Page 531. 1. The four lower spirille are definitely under the influence of the personality ray. 2. The fifth and sixth spirille are more specifically under the egoic ray, whatever that ray may be. 3. The fifth spirilla has a peculiar value inasmuch as it synthesizes the lower four. It is the third when counting the streams of spiral force from the standpoint of the atomic pole. It vibrates to five types of force. 4. The spirillae are literally 10 in number, 3 major and 7 minor. But from the unity point of view, they are the 4 and the major 3, the remaining lesser three being counted as one with their major, inasmuch as they are direct reflections. 5. The permanent atoms are not heart-shaped as portrayed in certain books. A certain number of atoms are of that type, but they are not the permanent atoms, which are more definitely spheroidal and are slightly flattened at the top, where the correspondence to the polar depression may be found, and equally flattened at the undersurface. 6. The arrangement of the spirillae within the permanent atoms varies on each plane, and the ones most frequently described are those of the physical plane. The arrangement of these tiny force vortices and their internal economy on each plane is one of the secrets of initiation and may not be revealed. One hint only may be given to guide the student. The astral permanent atom has its internal streams of force arranged so that the spirals do approach quite closely the conformation of a heart, though the pointed end is eliminated. The buddhic permanent atom has its spirillae arranged so as to form approximately a figure 8 with the central stream bisecting the double spiral. 7. The closer the approach to reality, the simpler will be found the arrangement of the spirilla. These streams of force show a septenary arrangement in the lower three permanent atoms of man, while the higher three contain but three spirillae, the major three. Page 532. 8. It should be noted that there are but six permanent atoms connected with human evolution, while the heavenly man has but five, and even then only one in the solar system. The mystery of a planet and its central life has not yet been revealed. It is connected with another manifestation of which as yet naught is known. 9. It should be remembered that we are dealing with a physical incarnation of these great entities, and that their permanent atoms, with the exception of the physical, are extra-systemic. 10. The causal body of the heavenly men is upon the third subplane of the cosmic mental plane, while that of the solar logos and those of the three persons of the logoic trinity are upon the first subplane. 11. The permanent atoms of men are upon the atomic subplane of each plane, with the one exception of the mental unit. Those of the animal groups are upon the second subplane. Those of the vegetable groups are upon the third subplane. Those of the mineral groups are upon the fourth subplane. There is, therefore, a close analogy between these focal points of force of the group, human or otherwise, and a chain, a globe, and a round, and in their due application comes enlightenment. The sum total of the permanent atoms of any particular kingdom form the streams of force, or spirillae, in the greater atoms of solar entities or of lunar entities, while the sum total of the permanent atoms of man in the spiritual kingdom, the three triadal atoms, Atma, Buddhi, Manas, form the spiral streams of force within certain centers. 12. As the permanent atoms become radioactive in due course of evolution, the result within the center is a marked increase of vibration. 13. The permanent atoms concern solar entities when they are found on or above the higher mental. They concern lunar entities on the lower mental, the astral, and the physical planes. Page 533. 14. It should be noted that in this solar system the following entities manifest through Roman numeral 1, one permanent atom, the physical, 1, a solar logos, 2, the three major rays or lords of aspect, 3, the seven heavenly men, 4, the 49 regions of the planetary chains. Roman numeral 2, two permanent atoms, the physical and the astral, 1, the seven lords of the globes in every chain, 2, the 49 root manus, 3, the 77 embodiers of form, a group of solar lords who are concerned with form building, working primarily on the first ray, 4, certain of the avatars who are selected by the logos to carry a certain type of force at stated intervals and thus further the evolution of the psyche. Roman numeral 3, three permanent atoms, physical, astral, and mental. 1, the lords of the third kingdom, the animal. They are seven entities whose bodies are made up of animal souls, just as the heavenly men embody for man the Buddhic principle. So these lords embody for the animal kingdom the monastic principle, which is the goal of the evolutionary process for them. 2, certain great entities who embody a whole range of existences upon five of the planets, of which the earth is not one, but who in due course of time will come to be recognized as having a powerful effect upon man on the earth via the three Buddhas of activity. A hint as to this esoteric influence comes to man in the close connection existing between the earth and Mercury. As yet it is not possible to enlarge further. 3. The entities who are the sum total of those group souls who contain definite permanent triads. 9 triads constitute the body of one of these entities. Roman numeral 4. Through 4 permanent atoms, physical, astral, mental, and buddhic. 1. 8 groups of solar entities who form the subjective life of the seven centers in the body of Brahma viewing him as a separate cosmic entity, dissociated from his two brothers. They are the seven sons of Thorhat, with the eighth son included, and they are the final differentiation of the 49 fires prior to their union with the fire of Eros. Thus is it expressed by H.P.B. in the Secret Doctrine, Volume 1, pages 139 and 144. 2. That entity who works through the form of a planetary occult hierarchy, using it as his body of manifestation and regarding it as the center through which his force can flow. It should be remembered that all such groups on every planet form a vehicle for the life of a great individual who gives to that hierarchy its distinctive coloring and its unique keynote. 3. A number of solar deities who are the radiators of solar magnetism and the life of form. 4. A peculiar group of beings connected with a certain constellation and the lesser dragon who have their habitat on Neptune and work with the sixth principle in the solar system. They take physical form, animated by purified desire, controlled by mind, and are the dispensers of love wisdom by means of certain of the halls of wisdom on the various planets. The words halls of wisdom, in their esoteric significance, describe a stage of consciousness, not a location. Roman numeral 5. Through five permanent atoms, physical, astral, mental, buddhic, and atmic. 1. The lords of certain subplanes who work under the Raja lord of a plane and who are themselves vibration and activity. 2. The lesser heavenly men on the buddhic level who reflect their higher prototypes on the second plane of the system. 3. The entities who are the sum total of group consciousness on egoic levels, remembering that these groups are differentiated and are formed of aggregates of seven until there are formed 49 groups of seven egoic vehicles, forming one group, which is the body of this lesser solar deity. There is a multiplicity of these groups of 49. This has been somewhat stated before when it has been announced that a master with his particular band of disciples and initiates form a group or force center. These groups have their permanent atoms, as do all lives seeking objective expression. Page 535. 4. The entities who are the sum total of the vegetable kingdom in its diversity of manifestation in different globes, chains, and schemes. Roman numeral 6. Through six permanent atoms, physical, astral, two mental, buddhic, and atmic, man. All that is here stated is an enlargement of the data given about the army of the voice, and an endeavor to show that many diverse lives, all embodying lesser lives or embodied in greater ones themselves, are to be found within the various schemes. We have dealt only with those likewise which are superhuman or human, with those of who have been or are men. We have not dealt with the subhuman, or with the lunar lords or lesser petries, for their day is not yet, and they progress as the tide of evolution progresses, unconsciously and not self-consciously. We have dealt with these entities and their permanent atoms in connection with their manifestation in the solar system, and have not carried it beyond the solar ring pass knot. All the permanent atoms concern physical matter and manifestation. The highest permanent atom of man, the atmic, is, after all, an atom of the third cosmic ether, and this should be pondered upon and studied. We have considered these various personalities, and the word personality is chosen deliberately, for what are they but personalities or beings in physical incarnation? From the standpoint of their lowest force point, first. We have discussed the permanent atom as a point of contact with the force of a plane, of a planet, of a chain, of a scheme, or of a system. This should ever be borne in mind. It is to be recognized that much that is written above may seem incomprehensible, but when scientists come to understand and regulate force, that which is written here will become plainer. It will be seen that we have dealt with the positive force in all negative forms, above and including the human kingdom. Page 536. Roman numeral 3, the egoic lotus. Footnote: the egoic lotus, the laws of karma are adjusted, the clue being found in the mastery of the 16 rays of the ego, for which 16 rays, 16 mantras or words are given, the real pronunciation being, however, reserved for initiates only. From Kali Upanishad. The mystery of the 16 rays of the ego will be revealed when the force of the sacred Tetraktis is merged with that of the holy 12. From the old commentary. The primordial is the ray and the direct emanation of the first sacred four. Secret Doctrine, Volume 1, pages 115 and 116. The sacred four are Father, Spirit, Existence, Unity, the Son, Soul, Love, Wisdom, Duality, Mother, Matter, the Trinity, and their united manifestation making the active evolving solar system, the logoic ring pass knot. This is the macrocosm. Return to text. We must now deal with the subject of the causal body on its own plane from the point of view of fire. We have studied it briefly from the more ordinary angle and in materialistic terms, considering it as a vehicle of rarefied substance containing within itself the seventh principle of each of the two lower sheaths of the microcosm and the mental unit. This latter is that which embodies the first aspect in manifestation, and which is analogous to the first logoic aspect, one that in this solar system does not come to full demonstration. I would like to point out here that in studying the solar system as the physical manifestation of a solar logos, we are investigating A. the physical permanent atom of a solar logos as contained within the logoic causal body on its own plane, B. the seven types of force, or the seven logoic spirillae, within that permanent atom. This, if realized, gives a new outlook upon the subject of plane vibration. Page 537. C. the close correspondence between the planes and the seven spirillae in the permanent atom of a solar logos. We have touched upon these spirillae and their function very briefly, and can now approach the question of the egoic ray and the fire of mind from the subjective point of view, or in terms of fire. 1. Centers or wheels of energy. A. Centers of force. We shall again reach the clarity of vision desirable if we study the subject of monadic development from the angle of vision of the human unit. It has been taught in many occult textbooks that man has seven centers of force, or 10 according to some calculations, that three of these centers are paramount and eventually synthesize the other four, or absorb their force or energy. This produces their eventual obscuration, or their passing out of manifestation. They occultly die. This is paralleled in the logoic centers, the planetary schemes, which also in due course of time pass into obscuration, and transmit their energy to the major three schemes. The three main centers in the microcosm are the head, the heart, and the throat. 1. The head center, the monad, will, spirit. 2. The heart center, the ego, love, consciousness. 3. The throat center, the personality, activity, matter. It will therefore be apparent that just as in man these centers are related to the threefold spiritual man in his total development, so the three types of centers, microcosmic or macrocosmic, come gradually more and more under the vitalizing power of one of the three aspects of the logos. These centers are recognized also as focal points of active force, manifesting to the vision of the clairvoyant as fiery wheels or the flaming petals of a lotus. Page 538. B. The causal body, monadic heart center. In studying the egoic body, it should be remembered that the causal body is the correspondence in the monadic manifestation to the heart center. It is a flaming wheel of fire within the monadic auric egg, which embraces the five planes of monadic manifestation. It is also seen as the 12-petal lotus. Of these 12 petals, the innermost three are unrevealed, or are embryonic, and hence the causal body is frequently considered as a nine-petaled lotus or as a wheel of fire with only nine spokes or whorls. This is essentially true as regards the evolutionary process, but when a man has succeeded in awakening or unfolding the nine petals, or in arousing the fire of the nine spokes or whorls, which is practically consummated at the three major initiations, the inner three are revealed. They respond to the monadic vibration, to the aspect of pure spirit. It is the stimulation or revelation of these inner petals by the one initiator at the third and fourth initiations which brings about the final conflagration and the blazing up of the causal body with the subsequent liberation of the central positive life or fire. 2. The 12-petaled egoic lotus. Solar fire is dual. It is the fire of matter or substance and the fire of mind blended. This makes man the six-pointed star of light, for each of these fires is triple. The fire of mind is also in essence dual, bringing in another triplicity, thus making the nine. When a man has awakened the nine fires and has unfolded the nine petals, and when he has received the stimulus which is imparted at initiation, through being brought into conscious contact with the electric spark of his own particular heavenly man, they all blend and merge. The inner three, which complete the 12, and which are concerned with the final and essentially spiritual stages of his evolution, are really related more intimately to the evolution of the heavenly man and are connected with the stimulus which he receives himself in contacting the logoic electric spark or the pure spirit aspect of the logos. Page 539. It should here be noted that this ninefold development is hinted at in the secret doctrine in the various places where HPB deals with the Kumaras or the heavenly men, of whom the microcosm is a reflection. She calls them the lords of knowledge, the lords of love, and the lords of sacrifice. Each of them is a nine-petaled lotus in the logoic body. They are the flaming wheels, and in their various names, as found in the secret doctrine, may be discovered the clue to the mystery. Let us realize this clearly, nevertheless, as regards the microcosm, and later extend the idea to the heavenly men. Let us picture the nine-petaled egoic lotus, the heart center in the monadic consciousness, unfolding each of its petals in groups of three upon the three subplanes of the higher mental. Their unfoldment is worked out through the evolutionary process undergone on the three planes in the three worlds or within the three halls of ignorance, of learning, and of wisdom. A. First group of petals, knowledge petals. 1. The petal of knowledge for the physical plane. Through the breaking of the law and the ensuing suffering, the price of ignorance is paid and knowledge is achieved. This unfoldment is brought about through physical plane experience. 2. The petal of love for the physical plane. Unfolds through physical relationships and the gradual growth of love from love of self to love of others. Page 540. 3. The petal of sacrifice for the physical plane. This unfoldment is brought about through the driving force of circumstances and not of free will. It is the offering up of the physical body upon the altar of desire, low desire to begin with, but aspiration towards the end, though still desire. As man in the early stages of his evolution is polarized on the physical, much of this is undergone unconsciously and without any realization of what is being consummated, but the result in the causal body is seen in a twofold increase of heat or of activity. The physical permanent atom becomes radioactive or a radiant point of fire. The lower three petals become vibrant and begin to unfold until fully developed. B. Second group of petals, love petals. 1. The petal of knowledge for the astral plane. Unfoldment is brought about by the conscious balancing of the pairs of opposites and the gradual utilization of the law of attraction and repulsion. The man passes out of the hall of ignorance where, from the egoic point of view, he works blindly and begins to appreciate the effects of his physical plane life. By a realization of his essential duality, he begins to comprehend causes. 2. The petal of love for the astral plane. Unfoldment is brought about through the process of gradually transmuting the love of the subjective nature or of the self within. This has a dual effect and works through onto the physical plane in many lives of turmoil, of endeavor, and of failure, as a man strives to turn his attention to the love of the real. 3. The petal of sacrifice for the astral plane. Unfoldment is brought about by the attitude of man as he consciously endeavors to give up his own desires for the sake of his group. Page 541. His motive is still somewhat a blind one and still colored by the desire for a return of that which he gives and for love from those he seeks to serve, but it is of a much higher order than the blind sacrifice to which a man is driven by circumstances, as is the case in the earlier unfoldment. As this threefold enlightenment or unfoldment proceeds, again a dual result is seen. The astral permanent atom comes into full activity and radiance as regards five of its spirillae, and the two atoms of the physical and the astral planes are equally vibrant. The three petals of the central ring of the egoic lotus come also into full unfoldment, and the heart center of the monad is seen as a wheel of fire with six of its spokes in full display of energy and rapidly rotating. C. Third group of petals, sacrifice petals. 1. The petal of knowledge for the mental plane. Its unfoldment marks the period wherein the man consciously utilizes all that he has gained or is gaining under the law for the definite benefit of humanity. Each of the groups of petals is distinguished by a predominant coloring. Knowledge on the physical plane with the coloring of the other two subsidiary. Love on the astral plane with the light of sacrifice weaker in tone than the other two, which practically show forth in equal brilliancy. On the mental plane, the light of sacrifice comes to its full display, and all that is seen is colored by that light. 2. The petal of love on the mental plane is unfolded through the conscious, steady application of all the powers of the soul to the service of humanity, with no thought of return nor any desire for reward for the immense sacrifice involved. Page 542. 3. The petal of sacrifice for the mental plane demonstrates as the predominant bias of the soul as seen in a series of many lives spent by the initiate prior to his final emancipation. He becomes in his sphere the great sacrifice. This stage can be seen objectively to the eye of the clairvoyant as dual in effect. A. The mental unit becomes a radiant point of light. Its four spirillae transmit force with intense rapidity. B. The three higher petals unfold, and the nine-petaled lotus is seen perfected. The causal body is then expressed in terms of fire, a blazing center of heat radiating to its group warmth and vitality. Within the periphery of the egoic wheel can be seen the nine spokes rotating with intense rapidity and, after the third initiation, becoming fourth dimensional, or the wheels turn upon themselves. In the midst, forming a certain geometrical triangle, differing according to the ray of the monad, can be seen three points of fire, or the permanent atoms and the mental unit in all their glory. At the center can be seen a central blaze of glory growing in intensity as the three inner petals respond to the stimulation. When the fire of matter, or fire by friction, becomes sufficiently intense, when the fire of mind, or solar fire, which vitalizes the nine petals, becomes equally fierce, and when the electric spark at the innermost center blazes out and can be seen, the entire causal body becomes radioactive. Page 543. Then the fires of substance, the vitality of the permanent atoms, escape from the atomic spheres and add their quota to the great sphere in which they are contained. The fire of mind blends with its emanating source, and the central life escapes. This is the great liberation. The man, in terms of human endeavor, has achieved his goal. He has passed through the three halls, and in each has transferred that which he gained therein to the content of his consciousness. He has, in ordered sequence, developed and opened the petals of the lotus, first opening the lower three, which involves a process covering a vast period of time. Then the second series of petals are opened, during a period of time covering his participation intelligently in world affairs, until he enters the spiritual kingdom at the first initiation, and a final and briefer period wherein the three higher or inner ring of petals are developed and opened. In closing what may be said on this subject of the egoic ray and fire of mind, I would request the student to bear the following points in mind. First, that the order of the development of the petals and the stimulation of the fires depends upon the ray of the monad and the sub-ray upon which the causal body finds itself. This thought would bear expansion and would prove a fruitful source of study to the occult investigator. Second, that this unfoldment proceeds slowly in the early stages and only proceeds with rapidity as the man himself works at it with conscious effort. The ego takes no active interest in the development until the second petal in the second series is beginning to open. Before that time, the work proceeds under the law of its being and through the inherent life of the second logos, which is the life of the petals of the lotus. Page 544. The life of the first logos, working through the self, who dwells in a form built by the life or energy of the second logos out of force substance animated by the life of the third logos, only responds to opportunity when the above-mentioned stage is reached. Finally, the ceremony of initiation is only undergone when the causal body is in a condition to respond to the will aspect of the heavenly man, the first aspect, and to do this through the glad cooperation of the fully conscious self. More on this is not now possible, but enough has here been indicated to open up various lines of study. These, if followed, will lead the student to much of practical value and application. 3. Summary. Our next subject concerns itself with the elementals of the mental plane, with the thought forms they animate, and with the consideration of them as force centers capable of producing results, constructive if rightly directed, destructive if left blindly to follow their own course. Before taking up this matter, however, I want to gather together some threads of thought in connection with the matter just dealt with. If we have carefully followed the data given about the egoic manifestation on its own plane and the fires of the causal body, we shall have noted the close resemblance between that egoic body viewed as a force center and certain aspects of logoic manifestation. The causal body has been seen as a wheel of fire containing within its periphery three focal points of energy, the permanent atoms. They are analogous, as earlier pointed out, to the seventh principle of each of the three aspects, will or power, love wisdom, and active intelligence. Page 545. Each of these focal points has its own internal economy, as seen in the spirillae, which are essentially streams of force responding to stimulation and vibration, aroused within and without their limiting ring pass knot. The internal life of the permanent atom, and that which animates and produces its activity, is the life of the third aspect. The force playing upon it and through it is the life of the second aspect. As evolution proceeds, the intensity of the life forces from within and those which affect it from without grows gradually stronger and stronger, and the light of the permanent atoms increases. The petals of the lotus unfold, and the spokes of the radiatory fire come into action. Bear in mind here that the permanent atoms are concerned with the substance aspect of existence or becoming, while the petals of the lotus, or the fiery spokes of the wheel, deal specifically with the psychical aspect, or the development of consciousness. The central nucleus, or the three inner petals, embodies the aspect of pure spirit. All three lines of evolution are proceeding simultaneously and have a reflex action, the one upon the other. It is this which produces the consequent perfection of unfoldment. It is neither possible nor desirable to follow each line of this threefold evolution separately, nor to consider them as dissociated from each other. The interplay is too accurate, and the mutual stimulation too important to be neglected by the student of egoic evolution. It is, as stated elsewhere, through the permanent atoms that the ego comes en rapport with his objective world. He works upon and through his environment successfully or blindly, just insofar as he can energize his permanent atoms and bring the spirillae out of latency into potency. This only becomes possible as he unfolds the petals of the lotus. It must be remembered that the three lower petals, when fully unfolded, affect, through their vitality, the three major spirillae in the physical permanent atom. Page 546. As the second ring of petals gradually opens, the astral permanent atom undergoes a similar process, leading up to the full arousing of the spirillae within the mental unit. End of side 2, cassette number 12, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, page 546. Continued on cassette number 13.